This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Welcome to Making Biblical Family Life Practical. I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
And we want to welcome you. We are in one of the biggest sports seasons of the year. This is the run-up to the Super Bowl. And all of America is on edge waiting to see how that plays out every year. And we thought it'd be a good time to talk about sports and a Christian view of sports and getting sports Christ-centered.
You know, I think the first question to ask is competition biblical? Because, you know, I remember seeing leaflets handed out at a homeschool convention one time that were totally against sports. It said that competition was not godly. And I was kind of shocked because when I look at the Word of God, I see something different.
That's true. And that's not just a quirk in the homeschool community, because I know our son, one of our sons off at college, heard the same argument at a Bible study on campus. You know, it was not something that was coming from the homeschoolers. It was something that's out in the Christian community in certain segments. The idea that maybe Christians should not be competing. Maybe they should be all about cooperation and about, a self-denial to the sense of, you can't strive. That's just not something.
But hang on. Mm-hmm. The Word of God says something totally different.
Yes, it does.
Okay, because when Paul... well, the Holy Spirit, through Paul,
right,
describes the Christian life. He describes it as a race.
Yes, he does.
And I don't think he would use that imagery if it weren't a good thing.
No, Paul does that a lot. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's talking to Timothy, and he describes his life and his ministry in athletic terms. You know, it says in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, he says, "The time of my departure is at hand." You know, he's close to the end of his life. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." You know, he saw the ministry in terms of an athletic competition.
And, you know, I think it's a principle that God does not use bad things as an allegory for good things.
Especially good things like our Christian walk.
Right.
You know, when he talks about this is the way a Christian should think, this is the way a Christian should behave, then you see the things he pulls in, and they're things that I think are good. Now, they can be twisted to bad. They can be used by bad people. But in and of themselves, they're not bad. In fact, they are very profitable. You know,
Acts chapter 20.
Yeah.
You know, Paul was saying goodbye to the elders of Ephesus.
Right.
And he knew that he was going to face chains and tribulations.
Right.
But he said, "None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I may finish my race with joy."
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, there's a really neat passage. I was just reading this afternoon in 1 Corinthians, where Paul actually gives a very extended metaphor of this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." Wow, you know, that says that there's winners and losers, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. "Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. And therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified." You know, you see training, you see competition, you see the possibility of running and losing, and Paul doesn't shy away from any of that. He embraces it.
You know, I think that is pretty obvious to most guys, but for us moms, it's hard.
Is it?
Yeah, because, you know, our boys, most boys, tend to be very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And moms worry about everybody's feelings. They don't want anybody to be sad because they lost.
Right.
And so I think we women have a tendency to try to remove the competition. Mm-hmm. That can really decrease the motivation for boys, can't it?
It really does. I look at some of the things that go in the educational market, and it's all about co- cooperative play, and I think no guy invented that. I mean, you know, and most guys, I think, are okay with the idea of losing as long as they had a fair shot, as long as they got in and competed and gave it their best, and if the best man won, and maybe it was the other man this time, that's okay.
That was so harsh for me to understand as a mother of boys, to realize that our guys would rather run and lose, would rather compete and lose than not to have competed at all.
Yeah.
You know, and but there's the other side of that, too. Sports can be something people are obsessive about. It can be things that something that interferes in family life.
Yeah.
You know, I think about the time we tried rec league sports with the boys. Do you remember that?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that was tough because we had three guys playing. And they were in three different age categories, and they practiced on three different fields. And when they had games, they were at different times and different. And, you know, I remember there were times when all three games were at the same hour, and they were in different fields. And I'd drop you off at one, and I would go to another one and watch part of the game and then run to the third one. And it was a real trial. It was really tough to manage as a family. And, you know, we homeschoolers tend to have larger families, and so you get, the problems become more complex.
I felt like we basically didn't have a life during that season. And
no.
I was very dissatisfied with that. I was also dissatisfied with the attitude of a lot of parents.
Yeah.
Like, I remember one game, and this father up in the stands was just cussing his child out whenever they'd make a mistake.
Yeah.
And it was a group of like 6 and 7 year olds,
mm-hmm.
and he was yelling at his child, his little girl.
Oh gosh!
Because she wasn't, you know, she didn't get to the base fast enough, or she dropped the ball or something. And I just thought, why are we here?
Indeed.
What is the point of this?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's got to be a balance. Competition is clearly, I think, biblically acceptable and even good.
Right. But there's some things which are not, and there's some things that are just logistically difficult to manage. And I think, you know, the key to all this is, at the end of the day, it's got to glorify God.
Yeah.
You know, when the scriptures say to do all things to the glory of God, it says that in 1 Corinthians, you know, whether you eat or whether you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, that does that apply to our sports and our pastimes? Yes, it certainly does. Everything should glorify God in some manner. And so how can we accomplish this? How can we bring all of this together?
Well, I think we kind of need to rethink our sports involvement.
Yeah.
You know, I think first of all, generally sports is a good thing for boys. I would not have agreed with that 10 or 15 years ago.
Right.
But 10 or 15 years later, seeing our boys growing up, boys have a lot of energy and a lot of testosterone.
Yeah.
And I think that getting out and using their bodies, even if they're kind of shy, bookish kids, is a good thing for them.
Yeah.
You know, our guys have found a lot of enjoyment in football. It doesn't have to be football. It can be bike riding or canoeing or kayaking or basketball.
Any sort of sport, individual or team.
Anything that uses their body.
Right. Right. It's something, I think it's a good thing for a number of different reasons. But, you know, I think there was a key transition point in our understanding of this. I think we had some kind of, I won't say bad experiences, but some less than helpful experiences in team sports before. But then we found a program that was very different.
Well, we did. And, you know, I think, I wanted to say this before we switch over to talking about that.
Yeah.
I think sports are especially valuable when boys hit that 9 to 12 year old say somewhere in there where they start getting really, they hit that emotional roller coaster.
Right.
Because, you know, they're so full of testosterone and their hormones are all over the place, and they get episodes of rage and episodes of weeping. And I think that getting out and moving their body a lot during that time really evens things out and gives them an outlet for that.
Well, we certainly see it during the off seasons when we're lacking that activity.
No
we
kidding. See, it's been one of those days around here.
Yes, we could use some team sports right about now. Well, do we what do you think?
Yeah, so anyway, let's do talk about what we found that was a blessing for our children and a program that is remarkably good at keeping Christ the center of sports.
I think so. Here, why don't you roll over there on the control panel. Let's bring in our guest. Shall we do that?
Sure.
Okay. I want to introduce you to a gentleman here that we met several years ago. A number of years ago, when I was the head of our state homeschool organization, I used to do a lot of media interviews. And one of the questions I kind of prepared for was, you know, all this talk about the National Spelling Bee and debate competitions and music and all this kind of stuff that homeschoolers were doing so well, is there anything you people can't do well? And I would have said, you know, we can play basketball, but there's just not enough interest and not enough people in one area. There's no way that we can get a decent football program underway. It's just not going to happen. And then Earl Pendleton shows up and just blows up my pat answer. Earl Pendleton is a homeschooling father of several children. He'll have to tell me how many. And he put together a homeschool football league here in Raleigh, North Carolina, that absolutely blew my socks off. And we've had 5 students play in his league and have loved it.
Now, right before you go to Earl, let's say a minute about sponsor today's program.
That is true. Today's program is sponsored by studentathleteworld.com. This is a fantastic group of people we've met recently. They deal with the complexities of getting a student recruited by college athletics.
Because when you have a student who wants to play sports in college,
yep.
I don't know about you guys out there, but I panicked because we'd done all kinds of college admissions. We'd done academic recruiting and scholarships, but I knew nothing about what was involved with getting a kid on a team at the college level.
And me either. I played athletics when I was in junior high school, but I never had pursued that on the college level. So that was a closed book to me as well. But Tim Ryerson and his staff have been fantastic help to us working through the basic introducing yourself to coaches and to colleges. How do you market your skills, not to produce something that's not there, but rather to say, hey, this is what I'm about, and I'm going to explain it to you in a way that you, the coach, will grasp it quickly, and you can see that I'm a quality candidate.
So if you're interested in your student playing at the college level, check out studentathleteworld.com.
Yes.
We really recommend it.
Yeah. We'll be talking about them again later in the program.
Now let's pull Earl in. Earl, are you there?
I'm here.
Earl, we appreciate you taking some time to be with us tonight.
We're glad to be with you, Hal and Melanie.
And now tell us this, Earl. Give us a little background. How did the Homeschool Football League get started?
Well, it was a strange sequence of events. God really opened the door up for us. My oldest son, who's 20 now, or is about to turn 20, was at the time 8, and there was no football anywhere. So we decided one fall that we would just scrape together a few boys to play flag football. I think we ended up with about 16 boys. And so we had our first season of football, and we had a real good time. We enjoyed the fellowship, and it was just a good time overall. And the next season, the next fall, we decided that, well, we'd like to have a couple more boys. So we contacted a local homeschool support group, and then we have a homeschool support loop that we use here. And so we just sent out an email thinking that maybe we could pick up another 16 or so boys and, you know, have a pretty decent fun time again. And we ended up with like 120-something boys that fall. And that's when we realized that the Lord had opened the door, that it's still wide open and still growing and churning through every season, getting a little bit bigger and a little bit more exciting.
Wow. So how many students did you have this fall?
This past fall, when you put flag and contact together, it was about 300, 325 boys.
Man, that's, you know, now we've got a good, solid population of homeschoolers here, but I never would have thought that you could get 300 guys together at the same time that were all interested in playing football, plus all of it. You know, all of the overhead of a contact football league, you know, with the equipment, the amount of coaching in it, just a tremendous, tremendous effort there. And Earl, you have built a fantastic program.
Well, I appreciate that, Hal, but I don't necessarily think that I'm the one that built it. I kind of feel like God built it, and I just kind of joined in with him and just have had a lot of fun in the meantime.
Well, I think we got involved, what, about 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
I have. Well, John played flag football back in the flag football days.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I guess we've had six guys in your program, Earl.
There's been Youngs around forever.
Not as long as Pendleton's, but there's been a bunch of us. Well, we've had four playing this past season because we've had three have graduated and moved on now, and we've got – is it three graduates? Yes, I guess we only had three playing.
Yeah,
didn't we
had three playing in the fall.
I'm losing count.
You
sorry.
Know, one thing I want to talk about, there's a lot we need to talk about the Huntsville Football League.
Right.
The one thing I really like, Earl, is it's family friendly and it's Christ centered. You know, tell the people listening about the practice schedule and the game schedule and how that works.
Well, I can just tell you that I grew up playing football, and football was, you know, 5-6 days a week, you know, full throttle, you know, and it was something that kind of was a strain on families. So being a father in a big homeschool family and looking at what we had in front of us and all the work that needed to be done, we realized that as we started to form this thing, it had to be something that was a blessing to families. And our families needed time to do the things that God wants us to do, to grow up, to love on each other, and to do the things we need to do. So when we looked at the practice schedule, we went back and forth with this, the board, you know, what would be the right formula here for success. And, you know, we came up with the 2 days a week and then playing games on Saturdays. And that's been our template. For I think it's 10 years this fall, 10 years of contact football, and we've never deviated from that. And I just think that it gives you time for your families.
Yeah, you know, because it's two practices a week at night, and all the different levels practice at the same time. Folks, we've got varsity, junior varsity, youth, and Mighty Might. And instead of each family trying to make it to four different areas, they all practice at the same time. And, you know, sometimes that's hard. Sometimes y'all have to use facilities that aren't quite adequate. But, boy, does it make it easier for families to participate.
That's true. I mean, we knew when we pulled it together that we wanted to be able to offer the sport to as many boys as possible and at the same time, you know, allow families to do other things. And when we looked at the scope of homeschooling families, you know, you got large families. And we saw in other sports where they didn't use this model that families, once the season started, if it was a basketball season or a soccer season, it was, you know, 4 and 5 days a week. And the same story that Hal was talking about earlier, where one mom's in this place and dad's in this other place. And we didn't want that. So we were careful to make sure that we put all the boys on the same field at the same times on the same days. And that's been the true blessing. One of the true blessings in the league is not even knowing what type of fellowship that would create among families and how that would transfer over to just, you know, really rooting the league in and God's word and in that fellowship that we needed as families. So it's been exciting.
Well, one thing I've appreciated too, and all the games are on Saturday with an occasional, you know, schedule change, but Saturday is game day. And you just do the games one after another on the same complex of fields. So those of us with multiple ages represented will just go out there with our coolers and our lawn chairs, and we'll just camp out for the day. Saturday is football day.
Yeah, we set up a picnic shelter, and it's really a blast. Our little ones enjoy playing with all the other children on the sidelines, and we just sit and enjoy the fellowship. It's like a huge community picnic every Saturday. And, you know, that is one of my favorite things about the HSL is that it's friendly to our family. It enhances our family life rather than detracts from it.
And we hear that from a lot of families. You know, when you come out to a football game on Saturday, you got to choose which one you're going to watch, the one that's being officiated and paid for or the one the little guys have started over at the end of the end zone. It's just fun for everybody. The little kids have fun out there. The families have known each other in many cases for years now. And it's just like I said earlier, that fellowship, and you just said it's sweet. It continues to grow, and it just makes Saturdays even more fun.
Now, that's not the most important thing, though.
Right.
Because you touched on that just a few minutes ago, that this is all rooted in the Word. This is really meant to be a Christian activity. How do you work that out, Earl?
You know, number one, we formed a board, and when we formed a board, we didn't look for ex-NFL quarterbacks. We looked for men that loved the Lord and understood what our mission was, and we have prayed over the league, and we have met, we have prayed with families, it's just every step of the way, we've tried to slow ourselves down and ask ourselves the question, you know, what we're doing going forward, is it going to be for God's glory, or is it going to be something that's going to be pleasing to us? And we've tried to check any situation where there was a pleasing to the flesh type of reward. And we really have been cautious to not move quickly and to allow God to grow the league as he saw fit. And, you know, many of our meetings, our coaches' meetings, our family, our parent-player meetings, they all focus on what's the most important thing, is that when we come onto this football field, we need to make sure that we keep our testimony intact, that when we leave here, there should be nothing done on this football field that will be displeasing to God. Now, I tell you that none of us are perfect, so we fall short from time to time, but one of the wonderful things about the league and the way it was set up is that we've asked, you know, coaches and parents to open themselves up to it for accountability purposes. And so when we have a situation that we feel like is contrary to what the mission of the league is, we go to people and talk to them about it. And that has been a big part of why the league has grown and prospered, is because there is that communication and there's that accountability back and forth. And that's just, it's really awesome as a director to see other coaches and other area directors with that same level of accountability and that real tender way of approaching the situation. You know, we just try to go up and remind people why we started this league, why they were attracted to it. And that's been the core and the center of everything that we do. We just try to keep Jesus right there in the middle of it.
Yeah, let's talk for just a minute about how that actually plays out. You know, how the league looks different than other kids' sports leagues. Because I think for most people, I know I had never seen sports that were Christ-centered. So let's talk for a minute about how that plays out. I know one of the things is every practice, one of the coaches leads the kids in devotions.
Yeah, we and again, that's part of our desire was to make sure that this was way more than football, you know. And when we look at things, it's God first, our family second. And I don't know where football comes on that list, but it's down a ways. So we wanted to make sure that our practices were reflective of the commitment to Christ and the commitment to our family. So we do. We start our games we end our practices with devotion. We start our football games with prayer. And, you know, we really try to make sure that every chance we get, we point our players and our parents, our spectators back to what the most important thing is, and that's Christ.
Yeah, I think it's really powerful to the young men to see these men's men, the coaches, who've been pushing them so hard and sometimes yelling in a friendly way to get the most out of them, to hear those men stop and talk about Christ and lead those guys in prayer. I think it's a really powerful example to them.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. We've had a couple of football players that have come through, through different sources. They were asked questions who some of the most influential people were in their lives, and they named coaches. They named coaches that they played under and the example that they set and the encouragement that they gave and also the accountability, some of that yelling that you were talking about. I think that, you know, coaches play a very important part of a player's life, and we talk about it as a privilege. It's a privilege to coach. It is a real privilege to be out there as the Lord's tool, and our coaches understand that there's an accountability. And as a league, we constantly critique our coaches, and we give them that feedback. We let them know if we think they're on the right path or not. And, again, that feedback and that constant focus on, you know, are we pleasing Christ is the core, it's the nucleus that holds us together and allows the league to thrive. And every year I feel like that there's been improvements and there's been, you know, a better outcome, you know, a better offering to the Lord.
You know, you really see this played out. Now, I've been to practices, and I can say you know, I, even when I played church league softball, you know, it was very perfunctory. The Christian testimony was there. Yeah, we're all church league, and we don't make a big deal about it. But, you know, I've seen in the practices when they have devotions, it's not a 5-minute nod in the direction of heaven. They are seriously talking about spiritual issues and challenges that young men face and places young men trip up. But then on Saturday, everybody gets to see on Saturday, and there's no profanity.
Yeah.
Right.
No profanity from the players or the parents. I know, Earl,
right.
It's one of your rules that a player or a parent can be ejected for profanity.
Right. Well, again, you know, we've tried to just point out the things that are important, and that's the order that we need there on that field in order for these games to continue to be, you know, enjoyable, continue to be a blessing to families. And as we've grown over the years, we've had discipline issues, but I think that just like in a church, you know, we're a big body of believers out there. We got to go to one another and talk about the things that are troublesome and work through them. And I do believe that that is alive and present in the league. And again, I think it's a very big part of why it's continued to be able to over the years endure and to continue to move in a direction that's more and more pleasing to God.
You know, one of the things I love is when a player is, when they're playing really hard, I've seen guys knock down the opposing player and then reach down and give him a hand up as a brother in Christ and say, man, that was a good hit. You know, to compete with all your might, but to treat your opposition like a brother in Christ, I think is really unusual in the world. It's a huge testimony. And then when someone's injured in our league, if it's a member of the other team and it's a quarterback you really don't want to play against, everybody takes a knee. Everybody prays for him. And I just, you know, I think that spirit of these are our brothers in Christ, I'm going to behave like a Christian in competition just like I do in church, it's something that's so great for boys to experience. This is testimony. Do you remember how when one of our boys was talking to one of the referees after a game?
Yeah, Earl, you can probably vouch for this. We've heard multiple times that the officials, the referees that you bring, these are professional referees, and they really, really like to officiate the HFL games.
Oh yeah,
one of them told our boys that he said I love officiating at HFL games because it's hard hitting, real football, but nobody argues with my rulings. There's no bad attitudes, no ugliness. He said it's just all fun.
You know, we've got some Division I college officials that when they're on break, they come and officiate our games, and they say they love being there. It's almost like a break for them. It's refreshing. And that is a tremendous testimony. I think the officials, a little quick story about officials that really kind of makes you smile, is that officials early on, the ones who had never seen us play, really didn't know how to what to expect. I remember a football game, we had two varsity players, two really good players, big fellas. One of them really got a good hit on the other one. I mean, he knocked the stuffing out of him. And the guy was laid out on his back, and the player that hit him came over and gave him a hand and went to pick him up. And when the player jumped up real fast and slapped him on the back, and the official reached around behind his back to grab his flag. And then he looked at the boys, and they were smiling and telling each other good job and walked off. And he just stood there for about 10 seconds holding his flag going, what just happened here? Because they were on different teams, and he just couldn't understand that. He's like, I've never seen anything like that. And later on, they tell us stories like that where they're like, this is just amazing that you can have a football league with these guys and the testosterone's flowing. And you know, in between whistles, you're on opposite teams. But once that whistle blows and that play's over, you got players picking each other up, encouraging each other, and that's just what it's all about.
Fantastic. Earl, if we can take a pause here, we need to insert a break and a moment of thanks to Student Athlete World.
Can you stay with us after the break, Earl?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, look, we mentioned them earlier, but Student Athlete World, com is their website, and they are they have been a real help to us because we've got a son who is very interested in playing college football, and you know it's a new territory for us, and every homeschool athlete has got the same problem. How do you get attention when you're not playing for one of the big public school teams where the scouts are going?
Yeah, and the truth is, college coaches don't have the time or the staff to go looking for undiscovered talent.
Right.
They look for places they found excellence before, and they look at students who have an interest in their college and know how to make the recruiting process work.
Right, and that's why we've been very thankful to find studentathleteworld.com. You know, the founder, Tim Ryerson, he's a veteran college coach, and he's taken that insider experience and put it to work now for the students. And he's put together an organization that's got a realistic and honest and a personal approach to
now,
this whole process.
I really like that because I was worried that he would raise our son's expectations so high that they couldn't be met and break his heart. And I was really thankful because Tim was very honest and straightforward.
Yeah.
In fact, they have a double-blind process that they have a college coach take a look at your student's package and recommend what level of play they need to be aiming at. And I just felt like, you know, okay, I don't have to worry about my son getting his heart broken here.
Right.
I can make sure that he's seen by who he needs to get seen by, that he has the help in the process he needs to, and get the education he needs to know how to compete in this process.
Well, and see, that's their goal. He said their goal is to help the student athlete find the best education. And they're talking the academic, the bookwork part. Why do you go to college to begin with? Find the best education at the best price that gives them the opportunity to play the sport that they love and excel in. You know, they said that their motto is, we get athletes, we help athletes get recruited.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the good thing. They can't guarantee you entry, but they can help you introduce yourself into the process and show you how to take the steps that you need to take as a student athlete. So if you want to check them out, we really recommend it, studentathleteworld.com, and tell them you heard about it from Hal and Melanie.
Before the break, we were talking with Earl Pendleton, director of the Homeschool Football League, about how he has made the Homeschool Football League Christ-centered and family-friendly.
And you know what? I want to, before we talk about the next step, I do want to ask him this, kind of building on that station break. Earl, how about what happens to your athletes after HFL? Because, you know, I see some really good high school football every Saturday in the fall watching HFL. But I have that same question. Do any of your athletes go on to play at college?
Oh, yes. We've got boys away playing in college right now. You know, a great testimony for the league and also for student athlete world for listeners is that last year our quarterback here for the team that I coach in Northern Raleigh, we had a quarterback that really was – he was a good player. He was a great kicker. And at the end of the season, you know, we were scratching our heads trying to figure out, you know, how do we get this kid who really wants to play on a college level – where he needs to be. And I think the Lord kind of brought Tim Ryerson alongside of us, and we hooked him up with Tim after his senior year of football, which is a big no-no in college recruiting. But we hooked him up together, and do you know that Tim was able to open doors for John? John's playing Division III football in Indiana. This is his freshman year. He just finished up. And in his freshman year, John can say that he scored a touchdown. He threw a touchdown pass, he caught a touchdown pass, and he kicked field goals and point afters. So he had an incredible freshman year of excitement playing football while he's getting that education that you're talking about. And we've got other boys that have played locally and that are also playing in schools like Virginia. We've got players that are spread out and enjoying collegiate careers and getting an education and continue to do what they love to do. And in many cases, these young men that I've talked with have told me stories about how they've gone on to be a testimony to these players in these schools, to share Christ and to really encourage, be great encouragements on their teams. We've even had a player to come through the league that skipped playing football all the way around and went on to coaching. He developed a relationship while he was a player in the league and ended up helping as an assistant coach in a local college and it's begin to, I mean, he actually would run practices for the head coach. So it's just the Lord's blessing these young men and letting them play football a little bit longer or be involved in football, but also to go and do things that are important that will, you know, share the testimony of Christ and to just to be that anchor in certain programs and for certain people out there.
Awesome.
That's
you
great.
Know, Earl, we've been nagging you to write a book about this, but can you give us the 5 minute now I know there are homeschool football leagues in Florida, Louisiana, Michigan, there's some states mm-hmm. with some. There's a lot of places where there is nothing like this. If somebody
yeah.
wants to start a league like this, can you give us the quick and dirty, your best advice for how do you go about starting something like this?
You know, I think you gotta pray about it. I think you really have to pray a lot about it. I think you got to search for men who love the Lord, and that's where you start. I mean, we've got a solid group of men. We love football, and we love to coach, and we love teaching the game, and we love competition. I mean, we've just had so many dads who grew up in this league, and I tell you that the key is the families and the dads that are involved. And the expectation that you set that with the families, you're letting them know that, listen, we are going to play football and we're going to give you a great show every Saturday, but that's just not the most important thing to us. We want to make sure that every step of the way that we've got this godly group of men praying over the league and making decisions that make sense. Making decisions on how we grow and what things we will and will not do so that we can make sure that every step of the way that we kind of stay in God's will.
That's fantastic. And, you know, you started out with that vision, Earl, and I've seen now over several years, you know, watching the program, watches it grows and goes through some transitions and a little bit of rough water from time to time and how you've navigated through it. I see that constant coming back to first principles. This is about, yes, we're going to play ball, but we're going to glorify Christ when we do it.
And that's what we need to focus on, whether it's football in a homeschool league or kayaking by yourself. The focus has got to be not just on me, but on how can I glorify God. And, you know, I think let's talk for a minute, and Earl, I'd love to hear your ideas on this too. What can a young man do who doesn't have a Christ-centered homeschool outlet for sports like we have here? And boy, I'm thankful to God and thankful to you, Earl, that we've got it. It's been good for our boys. But what can a young man do that finds himself on a community team with a really mixed group of players? How does he keep himself pure? How does he compete rightly when the people around him aren't? You got any ideas, Earl?
Yeah, that's a tough question. That's a really tough question. And I think that, you know, you're just going to have to immerse yourself in the Word, and you're going to have to know that when you go into those situations, that you got to go into a situation like that knowing what you want the outcome to be before you show up. And if you wait to make decisions when things go wrong on the field, or it oftentimes doesn't fare well. But if you're prayed up and you know what you want to do and what you want to accomplish on that field, I think that just about anywhere you can be a witness, and if your situation is such that you're in that environment that's not as God honoring, I think the players just have to know who they are deep down inside, and they have to continue to be true to themselves and God, and just really encourage the players around them. It's a tough situation. I think that's why so much effort has been put into the league to make sure that undergirding is there for our players so they don't have to struggle with that. But, you know, I've got one of our dads who's the area director in Greensboro. He's got a son that's away at Bluefield College in Virginia. And he talks a lot about that. You know, he's like, it's so different now that I'm not in the HFL. These guys, you know, they're not focused on the Lord and on everything else but the Lord. But the key is that he knows that if it's just for one player there, that he's got to be an anchor and a light, because he never knows who's looking at him and who's searching. And that's the key, is that you know, when we go in, we're probably not going to change that whole football environment. It's nice when the Lord joins us and we're able to be a part of that, but He's using us as a tool everywhere we go, and the players that don't have this league to grow up in, they need to be focused on that. That one person that comes along is seeking. Are they there for them? Did they set the right example? Are they there to talk them through the tough times and point them to Jesus Christ as a Savior? I think that, you know, it's a little bit different environment, and we just hope and pray for those young men.
I see a couple issues, Hal and Earl. I think the players have to make very sure that serving Christ comes before winning for them and comes before the approval of their players and coaches. Because I think it can be really difficult when you're put in a position where you're asked to do something wrong or asked to cheat or cut corners on your academics, which is very common in the college environment. You know, I think that a player has to be really clear what his priorities are, and his priorities are Christ first. I think the parents have to be really clear that they're talking to their boys and girls who are involved in sports and that they know what's going on. Because sometimes there's ugly things going on, there's hazing, there's bullying, and I think parents who have kids involved in things even Christian sports, you see it sometimes, that they've got to be really certain that they give their children time to talk late at night, sometimes, even when it's uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and they know what's really going on and the struggles their kids are facing. Cal, do you remember talking to the people in Idaho about this? That in Idaho, they allow homeschool kids to play on the high school teams mm-hmm. as long as they take a class or two, I think it is, at the high school.
Right.
And a lot of homeschool families really wish that weren't allowed.
Yeah, no, we don't have that opportunity here in North Carolina. I was reading on the HSLDA's website that there's 22 states, I didn't know it was that many, 22 states allow some level of participation for homeschoolers in public school athletics or other public school programs. But we don't have that option here in North Carolina. And that's one thing that, you know, HFL is unique in its spirit and its goals, but it fills another important role in the community. It gives an opportunity that, frankly, homeschoolers wouldn't have at all,
yeah. know,
giving them a place to play. But, you know, I think you're quite right that I think it's like the question of putting a child into the public school environment as a missionary endeavor. You know, will you put them into the public school locker room as a missionary? Well, some may be ready for that, but most are probably
not.
And I think having a good, strong identity of what you're doing as a, not only as an athlete, but as a believer, is a preparation for maybe taking that step at the college level.
Yeah, I think you need to know your kid. And I think you need to know, are they strong enough to handle this environment if you're doing community sports, you're doing high school sports, whatever. Because it's dangerous to say, oh, well, we've got to do it because this is my son's the next Tim Tebow. It probably isn't. What is it the head of the North Carolina Athletic Association told you how?
I talked with one of the vice presidents of the High School Athletic Association a couple of years ago, and he said out of the 150,000 high school athletes they track, only about one-half of 1% even go on to play intramural ball. They don't, I mean, let alone play on the varsity squads. Only one percent. It's like 1 out of 200 high school athletes ever hold a ball again once they graduate from high school.
So if you're thinking of involving your child in a sport, you need to look and say, okay, is this having a positive effect on their life or a negative effect on their spiritual life?
Yep.
And if it's having a negative effect on their spiritual life, don't do it because you think he's going to be an NFL player, because probably not. He's probably not even going to be a college player. And so we've got to make sure not to make spiritual sacrifices that our children are not ready to handle for a false hope of them playing sports in the future.
Exactly. But I appreciate that HFL has always gone the distance to say, hey, we're not focusing on training you for the NFL draft. We're not focusing on getting you into a Division I varsity team. We're focusing on building you up as men in Christ.
Love it. And so, Earl, tell us how they can find out more about the Homeschool Football League if they live in the Carolinas.
Well, you're welcome to go onto our website at homeschoolfootballleague.com and read all about what we've done there. We're currently updating our website for this new year. And also for any families that may be out there that are struggling and wish they could have something like this, I want to encourage families not to balk, not to think that, number one, somebody else is going to come along and do it. I mean, so many times in the arena that we're in with the families, the great families that we're working with, so many times people have said, well, I'm just going to wait until somebody else gets this thing organized. It doesn't take that much effort. It just takes someone who cares and someone who's willing to start meeting with some young men. It may be 10 one season, and, you know, like the 16 we had, and then you may have a surge, and lo and behold, you've got at least a football team that you can go out there and to play against. But I do want to bring everybody back to exactly what you just said, Melanie, what you've said throughout the radio conversation here, is that it's just super important that you have your priorities right. It's super important that whatever you do, that you let God take the lead, and that you're willing to follow him and not try to upstage him or move the program in a different direction, or, you know, chase after those lights that everybody that glitter so nicely. I think it's just super important that you let God establish the program and decide how he wants it to run, and then just enjoy it. Enjoy what you've got. But we welcome people to go onto the site, and there's information on how you can contact me there if you have questions and you want to start a league or a team in your area. We're happy to help you however we can. We will give you the resources or point you to the areas where you can get the resources you need.
Well, Earl, we do appreciate. We appreciate the work you put into the football season that our guys get so much from, and we appreciate your time this evening. It's been a ministry on both sides, Earl. We've been talking with Earl Pendleton, the founder and the director of the Homeschool Football League of Raleigh. And you can read more about HFL at their website, homeschoolfootballleague.com. Earl, thank you so much.
Okay. You know, Hal, as we talk about sports and what that means to our boys, let's talk about some things that families can do that don't have the blessings that we do, that don't have a homeschool football league where they can feel great about getting their kids involved. What are some of the things that they can do to get their guys active? I was really interested because I asked that question on our Facebook page, facebook.com/raisingwillmen, and got all kinds of answers. Some people said they were on a homeschool soccer team, basketball, volleyball. We have those in North Carolina.
Yes.
4-H shooting sports, someone recommended.
Right.
Traditional archery, wrestling, golf. You know, there's a myriad of things you can do. The important thing is your boys need some physical activity.
Yeah.
They need to get out and move their bodies, even if they're a couch potato at heart. We've had those too.
Maybe especially if they're a couch potato at heart.
Yeah, they need to get out in the sunshine. They need to move their bodies. And, you know, it really helps to do that. And sometimes it takes some experimentation to find out what different kids will enjoy.
Right. Well, I agree on that. You know, I remember John Taylor Gatto made a suggestion many years ago in a session I heard. He said it's a good thing to be involved in something that's a bit of a stretch, something that's a bit of an adventure, like long-distance bicycling or camping or hiking or something where – you know, it's not just a matter of do I have the discipline to lift the weights one more time, but do I have the grit to keep on going when it's really uncomfortable or it's a little bit frightening or I'm a little uncertain, but I'm going to keep on going because, you know, it depends on me. And so he said, you know, things like, well, he mentioned the long-distance cycling is a good example. all of those things, those can stretch a young man. You can use those to build character. And it doesn't require a big support community to make it work.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people get involved with martial arts, but I would caution you to, if you're involved in an Asian martial art, to make sure that your coach is a Christian and is not introducing pagan thought into it.
Right. Because there's some things which I think get marketed as, well, this is just part of the, you know, the game. That, you know, really, it's a religious ritual. We kind of strip some of the meaning out of it, but you're still going through the motions. We'd rather not get involved in that. But Yeah, I think that's a good provision. You know, I've got, can I share something here?
Sure.
It was in our book. You know, we devoted an entire chapter to our book, Raising Real Men, to the subject of competition, because it's so much a part of growing up as a young man. You're going to compete. You're going to play a sport. Or you're just going to compete to say, I can get to the car before you can. Okay. You know, I'm going to finish my math work before you do. There's that spirit of competition there, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. I got challenged back when I was in college. A friend of mine was a bit of a student, and he asked, do you know what the Puritan view of games was? And I had to say, well, no. Okay, that's kind of a loaded question. And he shared some things with me, which I thought were just fascinating, that the Puritans were, you know, we think about the tall hats and the buckles and everything and think they're a bunch of killjoys, but really they had a very balanced view of it. One of the Puritan writers talked about games and amusements, and he said that all of our games and amusements should be for the restoration of health and strength, to relax our minds and to exercise our bodies, and all should be done to the glory of God, just like we've been talking about. And he gave four rules. They were really good systematic thinkers. He said, rule number one, we're to make the choice of recreations that are of the least offense and of the best report. So you want to do things which aren't going to be questionable and aren't going to, you know, make people associate you with something they shouldn't. Rule number two, our recreation must be profitable to ourselves and to others, and they must also tend to the glory of God. Okay, that makes sense. Rule number three, the end, the purpose of our recreation must be to refresh our bodies and minds. Okay, not to wear them out constantly, not to, you know, by overuse. Number four, really, recreation must be moderate and sparing, even as the use of meat and drink and rest. Now, that's a very balanced approach. He doesn't say, hey, don't play games because it's frivolous. You know, he doesn't say that, you know, you should never compete or you should never engage in the sport, but rather, you know, see it as a different type of exercise and something that restores your body and your mind for further service to God.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. I really like that.
You know, we need to tell people before we go a couple of things.
Right.
We are currently in session 9, the ninth time we've offered boot camp 9 to 12, getting geared up for the teen years. It's a great live, interactive webinar series for parents of boys 9 to 12.
And maybe a little older.
Yeah, and if you've got boys that are going through that emotional roller coaster phase and you're wondering what happened to you, this is the thing for you. Go to raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp.
Yes.
Hey, and tomorrow.
Tomorrow we are starting our marriage retreat online, okay? This is an opportunity to spend a couple of hours a week, you and your husband or you and your wife, thinking about your relationship and building it, making it stronger. And this is a way you can get basically a marriage retreat without getting a sitter.
Oh, it's really cool. Lots of people put the kids to bed or get them in front of a video, and then they make a special dessert or something for themselves and sit down and enjoy listening together and asking questions, and then that provides impetus to talk and to share together.
Yeah.
It's a really precious time. We start tomorrow night, and the URL for that, it's at the currently, I haven't changed the price to the regular price.
Ooh.
It's at the best price it is ever offered at.
Okay.
Okay? So go to raisingrealmen.com/marriage retreat.
Yes.
And we would love to meet with you. It starts tomorrow night.
Yes, that'll be good. And you know what? If you pick it up in midstream, you can still listen to the recordings because everything is archived. You can go back and listen to the recordings as a refresher or to catch that session that you might have missed, or maybe you had to leave early because a child was sick or somebody was at the door or whatever. And so we really encourage you. Stop by and check it out. That's at raisingrealmen.com/bootcamp or /marriage retreat.
Yeah.
Okay. And we want to thank our sponsor for this week's episode, studentathleteworld.com. We do encourage you, if you have a student athlete, if you have one that you're thinking might be college material or at least want to give it a try, you really need to talk to Tim Ryerson and his staff at studentathleteworld.com.
And don't wait till the last minute.
No.
You know, it's good to contact him when you've got a freshman or a sophomore.
Yeah.
especially, now don't, if it's past then, that's okay, go ahead and call.
Yeah.
But the sooner that you can get in with Tim, the more he's going to be able to help you.
They got a lot of free resources. He's got an excellent book that kind of outlines the whole process for you. But get involved with him. He's got a highly trained staff, very experienced, a lot of knowledge that he can share with you.
Well, we've already learned so much.
Yeah, it's been really good.
So head over to studentathleteworld.com and, hey, join us on the web at RaisingRealMen.com for our blog.
Yep.
At Facebook at Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen and Facebook.com/HalandMelanie.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all over social media. Twitter.com, Twitter, Instagram, you name it.
Pinterest.
Yeah. /RaisingRealMen.
Yeah. So please join us again next week as we will be talking once again about making biblical family life practical. Thank you so much for coming.
It's been great being with you tonight.
Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.